Is this just a video of people puking? Why?
Because it's morning. That was a geostation.
To hold it back.
Oh, I like the ones where they just shit themselves. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Feel free to call for it after the network's fine.
Henry Rollins has really gone downhill. Not to mention the fact that I think he's drinking again.
Oh, God.
Wow. It's endless.
Can we stop? Can we?
Guys, Joanne said she wants more. I was going to edit it down to this, but Joanne said 5 more minutes.
It's still going.
All right, I suppose we've got the idea. As much as Joanne wants to...
I would rather see the gay porn!
Wait, get your yogurt first. You can watch
gay porn without... Vomit just freaks me out.
I don't understand why you're completely disgusted by that, but you're totally okay with the shit videos.
Because it's a different end.
I mean, I never really thought about it that way before. It's sort of a reverse spit roast if you're doing both. But I say vomiting is far less disgusting than poop. And I think any new mom or dad would agree with me.
No, because, you know, the butthole has one purpose, okay?
You're so clinical.
The mouth has several. And so to have, you know, bile just, I can't. Let's move on.
No, wait. I want to know because, again, I forgot how much of a biologist you are. What are the purposes the mouth have aside from eating?
Aside from eating, mm-hmm. Exactly. So eating is the other purpose. So things go down it. Kissing, talking, lollipops.
Breathing.
Breathing.
I'm trying to get her to say something naughty, but it's not working.
No.
It is a morning show, hence the huge litany of puking videos. You're welcome, America.
Sorry, I didn't choose that.
She chose every single one and wrote in all caps, put this on a loop for at least 20 minutes. I thought it was weird, not Valentine's Day appropriate, but what are you going to do? By the way, happy Galentine's Day.
Yes, it is Galentine's Day.
For those that may not know, are you going to explain what Galentine's is?
Galentine's Day is like Lilith Fair without the angst.
So Gino.
Totally. Yeah, it's a day that Sarah McLachlan sings directly to Gino.
Yes. Oh,
no, Galentine's Day is a day for girls to have an excuse to go out together and drink too much wine and cry silently in the bathroom.
That is a horrible, horrible stereotype. I find that girlfriends are doing it for themselves, and they don't need a man.
Exactly, but you also don't need a day to do it.
To booze?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, too. I've always enjoyed, and we can certainly get our guests' thoughts on this as well, but I've always enjoyed your theory on Valentine's Day, that it's basically a holiday for people whose relationships suck and they need something or some event to kind of make it better or something. You said it better than me.
No, that was it.
That's it?
No,
Valentine's
Day is for the people who don't go on dates, like the couples who don't do special things or like go out or spend money. So this is the day where it's like for people who need an excuse to do it, this is the day.
I tend to agree with that. My thing with Valentine's Day is I don't hate Valentine's. There's a lot of people that are like, it's a Hallmark holiday, and I'm single, so I'm upset about it. Like, I don't get that kind of bile. I don't understand. I don't have time for that. But I also don't like the people that really celebrate it a lot as well. I guess what I'm saying is I hate everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I will see you Valentine's Day and raise you birthdays. Especially the older I get, the more I realize that birthday parties are for people that are like wallflowers. And that's their day to shine. But if it's someone that's constantly seeking attention and affirmation, to make one day above all else a day when you're really getting attention, I think that's obnoxious. It's for the shy people to have their day in the spotlight. But if it's someone who's just like an attention seeker 365 days a year, it's a little obnoxious.
You know, an alcoholic who goes out to bars with his friends every day.
I feel like you're hitting close to home.
Gino.
Oh, good. Thank you. Yeah, Gino. Is no parent having Jameson drinking ass.
Yeah, I mean,
apropos of nothing, my parents are alive.
I did plan a birthday trip to New Orleans and made my friends come with me. What does that make me?
Obnoxious. I wouldn't put it past you, though. Actually, yeah, yours was really themed, come to think of it. But yours is the 30th. That's fine.
It was my 30th, and none of my friends think I'm getting married, so they just treated it like a bachelorette party. Literally the words out of their mouths. Joanne, you're not getting married, so this is it.
Yeah, that's the last time I had anything even remotely attention-seeking, I guess, was my 40th.
But,
and I didn't want that, but it was forced upon me.
You didn't want it? Yeah, but you had a good time. Are you going to treat yourself on Valentine's Day?
No. I think, what am I going to do on Valentine's Day? I'm trying to think of who we have on, if there's anyone. Well, we've got a good guest as far as today, Valentine's Day, as far as today is concerned, because Erin Davis is... helps a lot of people find love.
Mm-hmm.
So I have questions for her. But as far as the actual V-Day is concerned, nothing. I don't remember the last time I did anything on Valentine's Day, even when I was in a relationship, which is probably why I'm not in one now.
Yeah.
Mm. What about yourself? You guys are going to do something.
No. My boyfriend's in a show. So nothing? I don't see him. It's in New Jersey. We physically don't see each other.
So is he not going to send you anything?
I don't know. He might. I'm seeing his show again tonight, so I'm going to be bringing him a bottle of tequila. That's usually my go-to Valentine's
Day. That's a great gift.
It's just booze.
I like
and
that.
Also, he can leave it in the dressing room because they all like to, you know, like take shots after the show and stuff.
That's a great idea. That is a delightful gift.
So I feel like that's nice. But his birthday is the next day, so it's like I'm not going crazy getting you multiple gifts.
He has the same birthday as my brother.
Oh, really?
Yes. Jonathan is February 15th, I think. I'm not a good brother, nor am I good at Valentine's Day. I did see someone on the way to work, and I'll be interested in your thoughts on this, because at first I was like, you know what, that's a great gift, and then I thought, I don't know if women would like this. I had one of those edible arrangements.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How would you, if Douglas were to come by with, like, fruit that looked like flowers, how would you take that?
I think that if I was 22 and still like on the budget I was when I was 22 and just like hungry and like couldn't afford food, that would be great. But I think that it could backfire because if you just get the fruit without the chocolate on it, it's like your boyfriend's telling you to be on a diet.
Oh, you're reading way too far into it. I just think if it's without the chocolate, he's cheap.
Or that too. Mm. But even the ones without the chocolate are expensive.
Well, yeah, edible this was ornate, and he did not. I assumed edible arrangements were indeed cheap because this guy did not look like he was rolling in it.
Yeah.
But he seemed very, like, he had a smirk on his face.
He might have had a Groupon for it.
That makes sense. I love saying the word Groupon. But yeah, he looked very proud of himself. Like, he had a smirk on his face, like, I done good.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, I don't know how women.
Maybe it's just if it's being delivered today, hey, I'll surprise her by sending it on the 13th instead of the 14th.
Or maybe he was going to a Galentine's Day party, and all bets are off as far as gifts are concerned then.
Was he just the delivery guy?
No, because he only had that one.
Oh, okay.
You know, I don't delivery people deliver more than one thing.
I don't know.
I've got to define my delivery terms. What's the show Douglas is in? I forget.
It's called My Very Own British Invasion. It's at the Paper Mill Playhouse.
That's political.
I was at opening night on Sunday. It was so good. It's essentially a jukebox musical of Herman's Hermits music, the Beatles, a lot of other bands from the 60s. Yeah, reviews came out. They were pretty favorable. They said that the book needed work, like the storyline. If it's going to go to Broadway, like there might need to be a little more substance.
I always wondered how that works.
It's kind of about a love triangle as well, like a Helen of Troy like scenario. This main girl, and it's they changed the names, but it's essentially Mick Jagger and Peter Noon, and a love triangle between them.
Oh, so it's based on a true story.
Sort of. So Peter Noon was on board with this. There was a place in London called the Bag of Nails. It was a club where Mick Jagger, the Beatles, all these people would go to kind of like try out new music and hang out and be around creatives. So there's a narrator who's like the MC and he's in this club and it all takes place in this club and they're retelling this story. So it's pretty cool.
What is Douglas playing it?
He's an ensemble member, so he plays like Paul McCartney. He plays, you know, just onlooker at the club. He has a nice harmonica solo and a concertina solo. It's like a little accordion.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Is that what they're called?
I guess so, at least the small one.
I just know that they're very stereotypical Italian. I picture Gino having one.
Totally.
When he does Paul McCartney, the key to doing a Paul McCartney impression isn't necessarily the Liverpool accent. It's the mini blowjob lips. This is all Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney in 1964, someone decided that this was cute. And
oh,
so,
here, yeah, here's a clip of it. No, this is...
Yeah, I was going to say, oh, so does he have to shave his beard?
This is not Douglas. This is the lead guy playing Peter Noon.
Paul McCartney doesn't have a beard.
No, again, it's they're because they're retelling the story in a club. We all know it's not the actual Beatles. He's like showing what Paul McCartney did. There he is in the background.
Kristen Wiig.
So there's a lot of songs everyone knows. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, so it's playing at Paper Mill if anyone wants to go see it. It's in Millburn, New Jersey.
I'm going to bring it all back. That would make a good Valentine's Day gift, huh? Would it not?
Yeah.
Man, that is a date right there.
Yeah. And, you know, if you don't have a date, bring your mom. She loves that music.
Some people can't bring their mom. Like, who would you think?
Gino.
Yeah.
His mom's dead.
Thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers.
I always feel bad because I have a heart.
I'm starting to realize I'm the sociopath. And you indeed do have a heart in there somewhere. But by the way, Paul McCartney was the first one to do that thing. I still don't know what it is. I think it makes them have cheekbones or something. But, like, every picture of Beatles early on to now, Paul McCartney does this in his fucking 70s. It's this. Like, it's a mini blowjob lips. And you know who else does it? Donald Trump does this.
Uh-huh.
You know, sort of this thing. And, ironically enough, the person portraying Donald Trump, Alec Baldwin, also does the same thing. If you ever see a picture of Alec Baldwin, it's like this. And all of his brothers do it, too. It's a very Baldwin thing.
Well, you know how...
It's so weird.
Everyone has mirror face. There's a certain face you make when you look in the mirror. So maybe that's just, like, their resting face.
Resting bitch face? Paul McCartney's is kind of open. There is a more pursed lips. But it's very,
God,
very...
You have studied Paul McCartney's lips for a while.
I really have. By the way, you just gave away my Wi-Fi password.
Oh, no.
Now I got to change it. Paul McCartney's lips, all caps. Actually, it's technically Paul McCartney's lips, 1, 2, 3. I can't believe it was already taken.
No, what you should do is change the I in lips to a 1.
Ooh. All right. See, yeah, he's kind of doing it there. There's some words much more pronounced. There he just looks like, as it's been oft said, I think there's a website devoted to it,
you know,
an old woman.
Starting to look a little similar, though slightly curlier.
Mine's just looking like Darth Vader's helmet. I need a haircut more than Gina does. Yeah, God, they really do all turn into old women. There's a website that's devoted to rock stars that look like old women. Liv Tyler's dad. Steven Tyler.
Steven Tyler.
He definitely has it. Of course, Mick Jagger. Of course, Paul McCartney. There's a whole litany.
Elton John.
Well, Elton John, yeah. Come on. That's always been
happening. Doesn't Billy Joel.
Yeah, he looks sort of like an accountant.
Yeah.
He went from Billy Joel to accountant like that. I don't know what happened.
Billy Joel looks like in the Addams Family, the Uncle Fester. It's just because he's bald. That's the only connection I can make.
I respect, look at that. That's like the hip accountant that'll sort of like, that knows some sort of secrets that and gets you sort of to bypass some IRS stuff that other
totally.
He's definitely based in Long
Island.
Well,
he's a Long Island boy.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, he likes having barbecues on the weekend while talking about 401ks. Look at him.
Apparently he's finally made back all the money that his like brother or brother-in-law like squandered from him.
I never even heard this story.
Yeah, one of his family members was like in charge of his finances and apparently did a shitty job. So I think that's why at first he had to do all those appearances at the Garden. Like he just had this residency because he needed to make back this money. Apparently he's made it back, but he's still doing it.
Those tickets are astronomical, so he must be making a fortune.
Yeah. Well, now he has like a newborn baby, so he's got to, you know, set up a fund for that thing.
Fetal alcohol syndrome. That guy, I admire his stick-to-itiveness because no matter how many DUIs or accidents he gets in the greater Long Island accident area, he still keeps drinking. Always got a big old bottle of red and a bottle of white in his hand. Mm-hmm. And also, he does, I mean, if you look at him, you just think alcoholism. I mean, he's sort of a Jewish version of Gino.
It's really funny to hear those words coming out of your mouth.
If it was so funny, why weren't you laughing?
No, not funny.
Funny like, oh, funny, strange. I don't even remember what we were talking about. I've got delirium tremors.
Nice.
Yes. Anything else you want to get to before we get to our lovely guests?
No, I'm excited. Are they all here?
Well, if they're not.
Yeah. Great.
Wonderful. Let's go to our already starting to annoy me graphics. Guys, Erin Davis is back from sunny Bahamas. I'm so jealous. Her show, Bubby's Knows Best, debuted on JLTV on February 11th. You can see it every Monday. We have lots of V-Day related questions for her. Editor, designer, writer, journalist, former director of content of the New York Daily News, Daniel Johnson Kim. I love his big brain and his even bigger penis. And our very own Karen Margolis' triumphant return from the Queens of Compound. You can see her every week on a little thing I like to call Race Wars. And it's as incendiary as it sounds. I don't know if I used the word incendiary correctly.
Oh, I pronounced it right. That's how.
Did I? Thank you.
You have to spell it, and then you're in.
And now I don't know. I didn't warn Garrett about this, but like we were looking at some of the pictures of Queens of Compound.
Such good pictures.
Such great pictures. And I asked Joe this, and she didn't really give me a good answer because she can't use her words. But what is? Do we have the one where Joe and Karen are doing this? Because I found this
doing
to be a
what?
New phenomenon. This pose. It's sort of like the cutie
we
pie.
We were trying to get into a pic. We're trying to fit our. Yeah. Bodies.
But it's like I've seen girls, but have you seen girls that have just posed like this, even if there's nothing behind them?
Yeah, but we were in a group of like 15 people.
It's called the sorority squad.
In,
that's in a group shot, though. Yeah. I've never seen someone just do it alone.
I have.
You've seen it alone.
Yeah, yeah. I troll some weird Instagram account. but all right. Well, then I guess there is nothing to it. I thought I would sniff out a new trend.
No, but you know what? I did. I had headshots taken, and I was like, he was like, let's do some silly ones. I was like, all right. So I was like, you know, pretending to like model. Or whatever, and being cute, and he was like, "Wait, wait, wait, what is that?" It was like one of these, you know those poses where people are like intentionally, yes, yes. He goes,
concave.
He stopped the concave. He goes, he stopped the photo shoot. He goes, can you explain to me why everyone's been doing that? Like, I don't know. I'm just trying to be cool for 2 seconds. Yeah, so we're in a group of 10,000 people.
She's presenting.
I'm in front of Michael. And I'm in front of Michael Malice, who's 4 foot nothing. I have to squat.
Where are you looking, though?
How dare you be so accurate?
I know. No, that's a good point.
So many cameras.
So many cameras.
It was just there was celebrity everywhere.
We were literally famous.
Paparazzi.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, everybody's looking in different directions.
And Gino's doing the "I'm trying not to fall over because I'm so drunk."
Oh yeah, that one.
Good one.
And John and Joe clearly shop at the same one. Walmart.
I was so happy when we were matching.
Good for you. A lot of girls get upset about that.
Look how cute everybody is.
The weird thing is we just randomly bumped into Gino. He had no idea what he was doing or where he was,
really?
But he still photobombed us. It was a lovely time. Very good job. It was fun watching him. Speaking of ladies, do you want to start us out? What do you got? One that you...
Before we start, I just want to say that's a really great shirt, Bill. Where'd you get that? That at Goodwill in 1974? Or?
How dare you! I was happy I was wearing a collared shirt today. It takes
roasted.
A lot. Well, the problem is more and more, if I'm wearing just a t-shirt and a jacket, I just look like a lesbian. So I'm trying to do more collared shirts because otherwise it's either a lesbian...
Lesbians don't wear collared shirts?
Yeah.
No, but if they wear a sport coat, they usually just do the t-shirt. It's like a reverse Don Johnson, like without the pastels, and you just
By the way,
like...
his like Instagram searches are girls squatting in photos and lesbian fashion.
Somebody's
so
got to
do I know
do
what
it.
Not to do. I'm pathetic.
I think this is great since we have some, you know.
Yeah, I thought this was particularly good for our
dating
panel.
Experts on the panel. And by expert, I mean just Erin. Is the golden age of online dating over?
Oh God.
I guess that's your answer.
Writer,
moving on.
I'm not sure who the Pei Chen is. That her name? Pei Chen remembers the moment. Yeah. So
oh
I guess,
no, that was just
she's
one
not
of the
writer.
Examples.
Just an example. Yeah. Well, there's this one girl who was in line at a grocery store, and she sees a guy mindlessly kind of swiping on his, I guess, Tinder or one of those dating apps while they're waiting to check out. And she's like, "Really? This is how people treat something as significant as finding a partner?" She's like, "God forbid I pop up on there and blah blah blah." So it's just this idea of people are using this in such a way that it kind of diminishes the significance of relationships. And is it time to move on? Are we all getting tired of the dating apps? And should we find a new way to find a partner? Do you use them?
No, I don't. But also, that's how you treat people in real life. I don't spend any time like gazing at someone to make sure that I really like who fuck it. Like you see somebody, you're like, no, okay, Joanne, yes, perhaps I think you're married. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's just what we do.
But
who spends time?
One dimensional in like a photo versus a 3D real human being. So
yeah,
I feel like it's a little different. At least we're dismissing you in person. It's a little bit more of a rejection. It's like, all right, I see you for real. And
right.
I'm out.
Well, what this is just somebody being butthurt, being like, well, I'm special, and you didn't even notice, you wouldn't have noticed how special I am. You need more than 2 seconds to notice my specialness. Like, all right, if you're that special, you'll just shine.
Yes.
I don't, I mean, do you, have you had a lot of, has this killed the meet cutes since everyone's doing dating apps? Is there no more meet cutes anymore? Because that involves face-to-face stuff, last ever.
It does. Well, I feel like, DJK, I feel like no one likes to do the face stuff anymore. Whether it's a meeting or even breaking up, people won't say to someone's face, I'm not interested. They'll just ghost you or send you a text. Mm-hmm. Are you guilty of this as well?
No, thankfully, I was in a happy relationship before I ever had the online date. So yeah. I never online dated, which I kind of feel like a weirdo in my generation.
You're not missing much.
But yeah, it's
a nightmare.
But it's like social media in general, right? Like, online dating, Facebook, people are projecting what they want to put into the world, and they're controlling their own stories, and they're controlling what people see.
Yeah.
And it makes it easier, but it's not great. Like, I don't think I would enjoy it. Like, I'm really glad I missed out, to be honest.
Yeah.
There's a lot of dishonesty, too. Like, there's an entire show about catfishing people.
Yeah. That's a great show.
It really is.
It is.
Nice binge.
The world's and two also, most annoying, undateable dudes.
But it's also like showing,
the worst.
Truly, the hosts.
Oh, my God.
Have you ever been on a date
Shut
where
up.
A guy just has a camera
Shut
like
up,
that
Neve.
One dude?
I don't even get it. There's already cameras. Why is he?
A camera?
There's a camera on the cameraman.
Do you need that many credits on your own
and
show?
And it's such a close shot, too. They're never going to use it. He's just like in the dude's face.
It's like
uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. And then they were who they were. Wow.
There's so many unanswered questions in that fucking show. Namely, weird camera guy who's not a camera guy.
Right.
Is so oddly prematurely gray.
Yes.
And they never address
always.
It.
Never.
They've never gotten Just for Men as to be a possible walk-on sponsor. And then the other dude has a tramp stamp.
Yeah.
The other dude has a tramp stamp. And also, they never address that.
It's the same thing. They should just rename that show. She's Fat Dude. That's the whole show. It's
or
just
she's a dude, dude.
Fat, or yeah. She's a yeah. dude, dude. That's it.
And I think that especially the show Catfishing, what's it called? Catfish.
Yeah, sure. Catfish.
Goes to show is that people are so desperate for like...
love.
Like a significant connection that they will hold off meeting someone for so long because they don't want to be disappointed.
I have clients that have paid for robot services where they can just have an emotional relationship.
Really?
Are you kidding me?
They never meet and they know that they're never meeting.
Because they're not real?
It's a real
it's
person, but it could be, I mean, who knows who it is? It could be a man texting to a dude, but he's getting paid for it.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is you're providing an emotional experience.
I've never heard of it. Is this like a new thing?
Bill wants the details.
I can have a robot girlfriend?
Isn't that weird? Someone
robot have a number? Like, what's up?
I think because people don't have depth anymore. A lot of these online things are just so shallow and... Mm-hmm. People aren't developing friendships and relationships, and they are getting hungry for it. But I think it's absurd. I couldn't do that with a robot.
On the other side of the spectrum, there's this service in New York. Have you heard about this? Where you could just go, and this woman will like spoon you for an hour.
Yes.
She's not a prostitute.
Oh God,
it's nothing.
Gross.
But you just go there and you like be held.
This is
because
really
people
sad,
are hurting for like a human
future.
Connection.
This is very
This is next level stuff going on right now. Well, and do you notice that? I mean, maybe the new thing is cuddling. But have you noticed that there is a trend going against? there's a trend going against the dating apps. Are people doing less of it?
They're hateful. They're the worst. And people are burning out of them because we're the generation that was like, this seems like a great idea. And then we didn't. We got burned 8,000 times and
but
now we're done.
It's why I'm in business. So I'm actually grateful to them because they suck. It's the number one reason people hire me is they want to go meet people. And
will not be smirching.
I'm a wing woman, guys.
Yeah.
So I get paid at night to take people out and get them meeting in person again. But what I've realized is people are old school now. They don't know how to just talk in person. Mm. They'll meet someone out and then they'll rush home and get on Facebook and then message them.
That's cute.
So they're terrified of that in person. Right. So that's where I step in and I kind of do it now. But there's a big demand for it.
Wow. It sounds like you're doing a lot of just straight up spoon feeding for them a little bit because they don't know how to behave.
Spooning. Yeah. Yes. Be straight. Yeah. You know, I don't know if I'm going to go into that business that you found out.
I mean,
yeah,
so lots of interesting.
You can't spoon on Facebook.
No. Oh, that is the title of some memoir, I think.
Spooning on Facebook.
That's great. People's brains are really changing. Like, people don't know how to interact with other people.
Do you think people's brains are changing? Because also, yes. I see a, like, pendulum swing back to people wanting something more traditional. Like, people our age are, I'm talking to Joanne, are more, and this happened to me, too. I had a switch where I was like, I don't need kids, or I don't want to get married, I'm going to do an open relationship. And then I was like, that sucks. Like, I want something real and lasting and old school. Like a brick and mortar relationship. Do you know what I mean? It's like instead of the online shopping, we're like, I want to go somewhere and be with someone who
what
like
is
I be
mortar?
With
mortar.
I know we're so young.
But I think that is across the board. I mean, they've already been saying that younger people, with regards to Google Maps and GPS and all that, the part of your brain that learns directions and where things are is completely atrophied because they don't work
it
out.
Don't
so
need
I
it.
Would assume that there's another part of your brain that interacts with human beings, and that in of itself is becoming what's the word?
Yeah, it's sort of like, you know, when people say like, it's like riding a bike, you can always do it again. I don't know. I feel like if you haven't been on that bicycle of dating,
that's true.
It's sort of like a muscle that you haven't used. Right. And then you're like, I got a scooter now. I don't need a bicycle. Who wants to pedal?
I mean, I do my entire set about that.
Bicycles?
No, about dating and like how weird, like how uncomfortable it is to get back in. Yeah, it totally is. There's no good way. It's like figuring out who to sit with at lunch when you're new at school. You're like, I don't fucking know. I'll just sit with somebody, and if I don't like them, it's not them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah, there's no good way. I think you just have to like go for it and strike out. You have to. You're gonna get your feelings hurt. Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah. Is this making you happy that you're married? You're out of the game because of this?
I mean, but I can relate because I'm unemployed, so I'm used to rejection as well.
That's even worse.
The worst is being unemployed and single. I've read. I want to do this one because I like the video in it, and it's getting old.
No beef patties, question mark?
Not a euphemism.
Uh-oh.
That is it.
selling?
I feel like at this point we've all seen this video, which is amazing. Last Saturday, police released surveillance video of a woman in the Bronx smashing a restaurant's windows after learning the eatery had run out of her favorite food. Mm. This was at the Back Home restaurant in the Morrisania neighborhood of the Bronx. She was told they ran out. She got upset, came back to this Jamaican restaurant with a bat. No one was injured, thankfully.
Holy shit.
I haven't seen this video.
Look at that.
Now, I also heard.
I want to try those fucking beef patties.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no kidding.
Great advertising. Someone's trying to ask her if she's all right.
I read in another article that she was pregnant. But I don't want to say that if it's not true. Oh, she was, yeah.
Oh, she
parents
was.
Because then, no longer her problem.
I think this is a commercial for veganism, to be honest, because I'd say if this is what beef drives us to do, I don't know.
She has to feed that baby. How dare that Jamaican restaurant run out of her favorite beef patty?
Well, that's the thing. Are those beef patties like crack, or is she just on crack? I go to you, Karen.
Hope not, because she's pregnant.
Well, I don't want to answer that extremely racist question.
I think that was drug related.
I have to go.
Gino, apologize.
Somebody apologize to me. I suspect. Here's the thing: nothing happens once. Am I right? This is not her first time freaking out over beef patties. She has a history of beef patty meltdowns. So, how hard can she be to identify? She must be known in the neighborhood.
See, that's the thing. This happened on Saturday. I have a feeling by now that she's probably
a handy bat. Yeah. Bat lady. Oh, she just had that bat.
I don't know. I had an egg patty breakdown when Dunkin' Donuts stopped their egg white witches. I got pretty upset.
Smash a Dunkin' Donuts into smithereens?
No.
You didn't.
No.
Write a nasty Yelp review?
I was closer to that. I was one star or two star. I couldn't decide, so I just was like, quit this.
Two stars is generous. this girl. I've got a good heart.
I couldn't decide.
And McDonald's now has those bacon cheese fries thingies. Have you seen commercials for that?
Yes. I'm sorry.
Limited
what?
Time limited only. Time.
That's yes. how they get you.
I saw it looks amazing.
Cheese fries?
Are you out of your goddamn mind?
McDonald's has bacon cheese fries?
Yes.
Why would you trust limited any time. Bacon limited or cheese time. From McDonald's?
Well, they call them bacon-like products, sort of like chicken McNuggets.
Yeah. Cheese-like spread.
Exactly. But
can I get a bacon cheese McRib?
Well, the McRibs aren't made from rib. Are
you
they
know why now? They only make those limited? Because they're so bad for you that, like, if you eat them all year, you're going to yes. die. That's why this is limited, too.
Well,
like,
compared to everything else, everything else is still terrible for you. I think, like, that's the thing. I would think that there's going to be more stuff like that. Look at that.
Wow.
This is an actual thing.
Hell yeah. Is it wrong that I'm a Jew and that just looks so good?
Honey, I am right there with you. Oh, this is Jew bait. Classic Jew bait. This is how they lure us out.
This is so wrong.
Oh. This is how they get us out of our little trees.
Have you tried shrimp? It's great.
I forgot to promote your other podcast, Jew Bait. Thank you for reminding me. I cannot wait for the fries episode. But that's another limited time one. And I think that people, like what happened with that beefy patty girl, it's like if they get like addicted to the McRibs or that or whatever, and then all of a sudden it's gone, like the Shamrock Shake. It would go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
I feel like that's also the only way for these items to sell is to say a limited time or a limited
run.
That's how they it's get. Like when right before Queens of Compound, I was like, "There's only a few tickets left. You need to drum up this idea of I can't beat the FOMO. Like I can't be the only one who doesn't
FOMO. Fast food try this. Is real. Right, it's real. Mm. Yeah."
Oh, God, that's true.
I have no fear of missing out on that diarrhea, though, honestly. I'm going to miss out on that one. Jesus.
Same going in as it is going out. We've had this. I'm sorry this has been so puking, feces riddled today. But you know what? You haven't had breakfast. This is good for pre-Valentine's Day. I love this shit. I think this is Psychology Today, where I get all of my good psychology stories. 10 reasons you may be stuck in an unhappy relationship. I narrowed it down to, then of course they tried to turn this into some sort of something resembling a study, but they basically they started with the quote, "I'd rather live with the devil I know than the devil I don't know," and they said that was not a good justification for sticking around and something that you should leave.
Sucks. Just pick one.
Everyone's a nightmare.
Well, then, or maybe don't. We'll get to that. One of the reasons people do is to avoid sadness or depression, which doesn't make sense to me because aren't you sad and depressed in your relationship? I hate that word. To avoid disappointing friends and family, so people like you together more than you like being together. To maintain a fantasy. I'm not clear if this has anything to do with Game of Thrones.
Legit.
Huh?
Protect children's legit. Protect children. That's the only decent. Children. It's the only decent answer. The only reason I've heard this entire time. Yeah,
kids, that's why
kids
my parents
are a valid
had a
reason to stay
marriage.
Together.
So you just stayed together for the kids.
Yeah, well, that's
my
the
parents
thing.
Stayed together
the
too.
Kids know when
the kids know it. But apparently, there have been studies done, psychological studies, where it is at better. For the children if the parents stay together.
Even
if it's a two-parent home.
And you know what? My parents stayed together. It used to be like a little contentious. But then when my sister and I moved out of the house, now they're like best friends and so happy.
You guys were the problem.
We were the problem, yeah.
That is absolutely.
Polluted their marriage. And they're so, so cute now. I go home, they're like, they love each other. They're best friends. They're like always giggling and hanging out.
Oh, that's
I know. I'm like, I'm sorry, you guys. Yeah,
mine was the opposite.
That's hilarious. So like whenever they say, oh, it has nothing to do with you kids are always
lying. Oh, it literally
lying.
Is just you. Yeah, your parents were happy before you came along.
Yeah.
Full ball of stress.
Well, then there's also just the whole idea, and you still see it. You would think it's been so debunked now people don't do it, but to have kids to save the marriage. I mean, when
That's
has
crazy.
That ever happened?
Yeah, but people do stay together for kids, so in a way it does make sense.
And then when they empty nest it, they're out, you know?
Right. Yeah. Right.
That's what happened to my parents the second I left. My sister's older than me, but the second I left the house, they were divorced like...
Oh,
you
wow.
were there so much happier.
Yeah, there
it was
you go.
Such nicer people.
I know. See, that's what I don't think you should. I don't think you should stay together if you're miserable.
Kids are a lousy band-aid. The maintain a fantasy. I'm trying to wrap my head around this. Some people remain stuck in an unhappy relationship with the hope that things will improve despite all evidence to the contrary. Okay, that makes a little more sense.
Blame Hallmark.
There you go.
All those movies.
I thought you just meant the cards.
I did too.
And the channel.
Both.
I don't like the ones where you open up and it's a little sawn. I honestly, when I saw To Maintain a Fantasy, for some reason, I just thought of people going to Comic-Con together. I'm like, oh, that could keep the relationship fresh. Aaron, did any of these particularly hit home since you deal with this stuff all the time, or people trying to avoid it, I suppose?
Well, this time of year, I do a lot of damage control because people actually, they break up before Valentine's Day. I don't have many people sitting in anything unhappy. Mm-hmm. They're out.
Oh, wow.
I see people getting out, and then they need help coping with what it's like to be single. And I try to tell people it's awesome to be single. There's a lot of reasons to celebrate. And
yes,
it's kind of like the first reason said, like, you'd rather live with the devil than that you know.
The devil
Don't live with a devil?
That's kind of what I didn't get.
So I'm like,
devils are so hot, though. Devils put it on you pretty good. I'm just saying.
I think those are all lame excuses. They're all boiled down to one thing. You're too insecure to be by yourself.
Yeah.
Like, all those reasons are just...
So then, as a result, lift the Band-Aid and try it out. I mean,
Rip it. Yeah, rip off that Band-Aid.
Peek under that gut.
Invite infection
into your wound. Lift it and then smush it back down.
All right, so the one thing that I don't get, though, is like for that whole for better or worse thing as far as marriage vows are concerned. I don't know if you can necessarily apply that with relationships, but I mean, there are ebbs and flows.
Yeah, sure.
So is there something to be said about sticking through something, or if it's bad, it's just going to continue being bad?
Like, if the lows outweigh the highs, or even if you're wondering if they are outweigh the highs, you should be out of there. Right. To me, it should be everybody's going to have their lows. And I try to tell couples, if you don't fight, that sucks. Right. Because, like, fighting actually makes you stronger if you can overcome it and communicate.
Right.
But it's very easy if you're like, oh, I don't know if I'm happy more often than I'm sad. If you're in doubt, I think you should go.
And all lows are not created equal. Like, there's certain lows that are just acceptable parts of life, and then there's stuff that's not acceptable. Like, you have to have your boundaries of what kind of treatment you're willing to take.
And people overthink things. I usually tell a lot of my clients, just actually think about, does this feel wrong in your gut? Are you happy? It's actually just a simple question.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, they keep overthinking, well, what do my parents think? Just like that one that said anxiety over disappointing others. And I just kind of make people just go back to the roots. Like, are you happy?
Yeah.
What do you think? And your gut is actually like, no, I'm pretty friggin' miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, okay. You just answered your question. Don't overthink it.
And people are so lonely now, you know, with like apps and whatever. They're like, I'm so connected, but I'm so lonely. But also, it's like the best time ever to be single.
It's so great.
You have so much you can do. You have so many resources.
Great.
If you want it, you can like, you have so much time to devote to yourself and so many opportunities to make shit happen for you.
You can learn so much about yourself and have a blast. New York, it's like the world is your oyster here. I mean, you can go get cheesy bacon fries. You can look at what we can do these days, right?
I forgot what being productive was like until I sat.
Next
and look,
level.
I broke up with someone I was like super in love with, but I didn't get shit done.
And my apartment is cleaner. I work out a lot more.
Yeah,
there's a lot
of
great things about not being married and stuff. So, you know, I'm sorry. You know, earmuffs. Earmuffs.
It's okay. It's fine.
The other thing that wasn't in here is also just like laziness, because like I know a lot of people that actively try to avoid their significant other, and in my mind I'm just like, well, if you're avoiding them, maybe just leave them, but they won't do that, and I have no other reason why they're behaving that way aside from the fact that they're just lazy as fuck.
You know how the grass is greener on the other side quote.
Yeah.
Usually people with dating now think the opposite. They're like, I guess this might be the best because being alone and what dating nowadays is the worst.
Right.
So I think what they think.
Mm-hmm.
So their situation has to be better than getting
fear
back
the unknown.
In the dating pool.
Right.
Fear of the unknown. And like you said, you're guessing dating in the app world must suck, right?
Mm-hmm.
It does.
Yeah.
But your situation, if you're not happy, it doesn't mean that you're going to be more miserable out there.
I feel like that's why a lot of people, too, will try to go back to an ex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, oh, is being with them better than...
Better than...
But I think a lot of times they don't miss... I think I've said this before on this show. You don't miss your ex. You miss the person you were when you were with them.
Mm.
Or the future you bought into when you were with them.
Yeah. You liked the idea of it, or at the time you felt accomplished, or like you felt like you were a committed person.
That was a good relationship then, because I feel like that's the definition of a good relationship. If you like yourself better with someone... Usually I like myself less when I'm dating someone. I'm like,
no.
I'm more productive alone. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know?
Sometimes it's like the stage in your life, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like...
let's say, a college boyfriend. Well, that person was a piece of shit.
Right,
but
back then.
Back then, God, you were
young
hopeful.
And exciting.
And you weren't jaded yet, so you're kind of holding on to those emotions.
Well, in retrospect, in hindsight, right, everything is always looking a little brighter than the reality of it.
I'm trying to remember if I ever liked myself with someone. I just remember my wallet always being a lot thinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I guess that's kind of a personality trait. I like this one because apparently Hawaii is a state. And they may increase, I don't know how you can get away with this, the legal smoking age to 100. In a new bill proposed by Democrat Richard Cregan, the smoking age would increase rapidly between 2020 and 2024. It'll need to pass through the state legislature. God, what is wrong with me today? And weather a potentially strong backlash from tobacco companies, you think, order to become state law. E-cigarettes, chewing tobacco, and cigars are not included in the bill. Phew. I love my stogies. In January 2017, Hawaii became the first U.S. state to raise its smoking age to 21. In other U.S. states, it's currently 18 or 19. Like, there's
smelling
a difference.
Smelling itself.
I don't like, I mean, I guess, I hate the whole trying to save you from yourself thing going on here. But it's an old trope, but I have to say it's true. If you're like in the armed forces and you're a little stressed out and you need to smoke, 18, you should be able to have a cigarette. Like, there's a lot to go on, going on here. I don't really understand the 100 years old part. Like, I don't know how they can get away with
that. I think they're assuming, you know, people won't ever live to 100, so no one will
smoke. I made it.
Right.
Finally, I can have my first cigarette.
Can you imagine that 100th birthday?
They're just going to turn everyone into a criminal. Just everyone's going to be a felon now smoking.
Yeah, seriously. It's just going to generate a robust black market is what it's going to do.
You're going to make it cool again is the problem.
We never seem to learn that.
Yeah. Do you think a 100-year-old person's going to be like, yes, I can go smoke now, and then what?
100-year-olds are trash.
I can't.
Yeah, I don't know if they can put that many words into a sentence.
If I was 100, I would want to die, though. So yeah,
that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking they're smoking. Like, you know what? Yes. I'm done. I made it to 100. Let's get the cigarette.
But there are faster ways to kill yourself at 100 than having a cigarette.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I'm definitely going to start doing heroin at around 60.
So it's around the corner for you, buddy.
He wants to do it progressively. So, like, now.
That was it.
It would
yes.
be like 30, and then in 10 years, it would be 40, blah, 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 up to 100. So only people that are smoking now can still smoke, but no one that new can.
That's so dumb. They're going to get such a diminishing return on that law, though. Like,
well, what I also think is interesting, I guess one of their reasons for doing this is that because they can, like, they don't need the money from cigarette sales, because Hawaii is already one of the most expensive states, I think, in the country. So it's not like the tax on it is going to help their infrastructure. Like, I don't know.
Well, but to Daniel's point, like, I remember when we raised the prices dramatically, I think under Bloomberg, and I remember I used to live in East Harlem, and I went from getting out of the subway from the guy selling drugs to selling cigarettes. And it just happened like that. I mean, the black market is everywhere. And half of these delis got a little under the table action. You know, they get them from Virginia or something like that.
Those are the best.
And it's just like this stuff, prohibition just doesn't seem to work, and yet no one ever reads that memo.
I kind of like it, though. It's like old school. Like, remember when weed was so illegal and you had to like be at home and like close doors and shit and like not let people know? Like, that was fun. It was fun to be like a little criminal, but you're not really doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
Like when they bring that back, like now it's like a little bit wrong to smoke. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a little naughty.
I was on the street the other day and I was smoking a cigarette. I'm trying to quit, but I was smoking a cigarette and it's under a scaffolding, right? And this woman comes up to me and says, "You're not allowed to smoke under the scaffolding." I was like, "What, lady? Like, leave me alone. I'm on a public street. Fuck off."
And then she
went,
with the scaffold.
"You're a thug." And I was like, "What?" I literally was like, "Thug?
You?
I'm a thug because I'm smoking a cigarette on the street?" I said, "You must live a fucking privileged life, lady." And she was like, and then just kind of ran off.
But you felt so cool, right?
Yeah.
I was like,
"You're cool. That's
I'm
cool.
A thug.
You're fucking
this
thug.
This is nice." I ran home, told my wife, I got called a thug. It was amazing.
So an F-bomb on her?
Yeah.
That's usually the response from people that are calling.
I live on the Upper West Side, so. That's what I get.
All of New York City.
And button-down combo. That is real thug Upper West Side.
I know.
All of New York is scaffolding, so where else?
Exactly.
Under a scaffold.
He's like, "You're so disrespectful to the people around here." I was like, "What people? It's me and you. That's it."
Well,
like,
the only thing worse than that is the people with the fake coughs when they go by you.
Oh, yeah.
And they do it loud enough for you to hear them, and you know, and they know that that is a fake cough.
Right.
And they just want to show you how much they hate you for being addicted.
But then it makes me want to keep smoking in their face because I want
it
them to
die. It does a little bit. It has the exact opposite effect.
It's not even in their face. It's for 2 seconds. And I've actually never smoked anything in my life. I've never tried anything.
It's delightful.
2 seconds past someone smoking and I'm going to be okay.
No, it's like when people have their kids around or whatever and you're having a conversation and you say fuck, right? And they give you a dirty look. You're like, don't bring your kid around me. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah, it's a choice.
From smoking to social media, fuck me. You know what? We should just nuke
the social behaviors to social media.
Alliteration, guys. You found a link. That's
thank
good.
You. Although, isn't smoking antisocial behavior?
No, that's why people do it.
So it's very social.
It's very pro-social.
Smoking's antisocial at this point.
No, because you ever been smoking a cigarette and someone else smoking? Yeah. You kind of look at each other like, yeah, we're both going to kill ourselves. Like,
I only
this is great.
Ever
like,
do it to
I
hang
feel
out
you.
With other smokers.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
the
how it starts, too,
it.
In fucking high school. Like, you hang out with the cool kids or
cigarettes. There's a friends about it.
But or, yeah, but then there's also just doing that to get out of a conversation. And then you go out by yourself.
That's like saying that going to the bathroom is antisocial because you can get out of conversations by doing that.
All of these guys going out for a smoke break. Come on, it's a fucking social thing.
Yeah, very.
They just sit there and stare at each other while drooling. It's actually really creepy.
I've had some of the best conversations I've ever had in my life smoking a cigarette. It's very social.
I love that the best conversations of your life last 5 minutes.
You know.
Gotta get
social
it
social media age. We gotta, let's go.
A little longer if you're smoking American Spirits. Mm-hmm. I started with the Times, and then everyone in the media sort of had their say on it. But should journalists stop tweeting? Twitter is ruining American journalism, says Farhad Manju. Why do we always pick stuff where I can't pronounce their names? He was talking about the Covington Catholic incident specifically, but the whole thing of supposedly objective reporters tweeting overall. Reporters have become conditioned to, quote, offer an opinion before much is known, because by the time more is known, Twitter will have already moved on to something else. Of course, he mentions the adrenaline rush that comes with a lot of people engaging on what you said. Finally, after offering a bunch of other examples where journalists offer opinions on something perhaps they shouldn't, he said, the medium is the message and the medium is toxic. I feel like he plagiarized that from someone. Joe, should journalists stop tweeting or tweet more?
Do you remember, I guess it first started a few years ago, when journalists would put in their bios, like, all opinions and tweets are my own?
Yes.
Now it's like, are you sure you want to say that? Are you sure you want to take ownership of everything you're saying? I think that speed is definitely what encourages journalists to tweet more and then have to redact. It's this idea of, I want to be the first person to say this or the first person with this opinion. But again, they don't have all the details yet. So then it's this idea of, oh, I have to. But hey, it was just an opinion. It wasn't fact. So there's a lot of that. But then it's like, well, when am I supposed to believe you?
Yes. Well, and also, like, I wonder what the guidelines are now. Because I, unlike Daniel, I've never worked at a daily paper. What was the Daily News guidelines for their employees tweeting, if there were any?
I don't know. I didn't read them.
Again, looking for a job, ladies and gentlemen. So there was no, like, hard and fast. I mean, there must have been an overlying.
Yeah, it was basically like, you know, don't. The Daily News is different because it was a tabloid.
Right.
So you could
but
be a little more.
Tabloid.
Yeah, I'm not really. but, you know, if you wouldn't say it in the story, it's my personal thing. If you wouldn't feel comfortable putting in something with your name on it, why would you tweet it? Mm. And the other thing is, like, a lot of journalists get drunk and then they tweet stuff that they thought is funny and smart but really isn't.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Moving on from
I mean, I think the whole idea of objectivity is bullshit anyways.
It's
like,
true.
We're human beings. We have our own stories. We have our own perspectives. Like, I know that everyone thinks there's this
human.
They think that, like, you should be objective, but you should realize that human beings have their own biases.
Ew.
Right?
Yeah.
And so even when you're trying to be objective, your biases are going to seep through. It happens.
That is always, I mean, I can see Karen's bursting at the
seams.
Oh
my God.
Right here.
Here's the thing. This is our fault for caring about journalists' stupid opinions. Like, I
how dare you?
I do not care unless you're like an op-ed person, in which case I'm not reading it. Like, I don't want your opinion. I would just give me facts. I am a professional opinion haver. Like, I will handle that. I do not need your opinion. If you're the journalist, like, you are the the what's the word?
Facilitator.
Yeah, like the middleman of getting facts to me from places that I don't have access. Like, I'm not in Washington, D.C. listening to what's going on. I need you to be there, tell me what's happening, and then stop talking. That's it. And then I will have my opinions how I see fit. If journalists are tweeting opinions, the reason they keep doing that is because people seem to care.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And there is, of course, the endorphin rush that comes with people caring.
Right.
But I think what Daniel's saying is that maybe not in every instance, but I mean, obviously, most of the time it should be just the facts, ma'am. But is it worse to not have an opinion, period? Or, I'm sorry, to fake like you don't have an opinion when obviously you do, and keep it buried?
Right?
Yeah.
It's like trying to have objectivity by creating a false equivalency. I'm going to interview someone that's an expert, and then I'm going to interview a random person on the street, and they're both presented as equal weight, which isn't fair or true. Mm. And also, even in the most fact-based stories, the how they select where to what order to put things in and where to put things shows their bias. Where they choose to put certain stories on the front of the homepage and certain stories buried or certain stories on the front of the newspaper and other, that shows their bias, right?
Sure, but that's like, always happened, and that's kind of my point, is that that's still going to happen, right? You're not going to take bias out of
like
human
overtly.
Beings, but why why encourage people to do like opinion-based journalism? Do you know what I mean?
The bias
will always come out. Why encourage it?
I think the thing is, it's cable news. Every journalist who's tweeting these opinions wants it to be picked up by some outlet, and then get offered a job at Fox or at, you know, MSNBC or whatever it might be, so they can become that talking head on a larger platform with a larger opinion that people will watch. You know, if their tweet gets retweeted so many times, that can't be ignored, and then you wouldn't want to capitalize on that.
To be fair, though, also, it's harder, I think, to be a journalist now. Like, you know, everybody's like, media, prints, you know, newspapers are dying or whatever, and people's job security, I think, they also tie into being kind of a celebrity journalist. Like, being a recognizable name, someone that, you know, people would want to seek out their journalism specifically, because it's not enough to like just be a New York Times reporter anymore. You have to be like a star.
And I think the Trump era has changed journalism. I mean, just go to CNN.com. People are trying to come up with spicier headlines and make it just look like every single day is so full of drama in the White House. I think the whole tone has changed.
I don't think it's an easy job. I don't think it ever was.
I know.
No. But it does pay shit too.
So what's the why does this even exist anymore? But it is funny to watch the abject glee that they get, if you can call this guy a journalism, once something goes viral. Like when we did the washing hands story yesterday, this guy on Fox and Friends basically said, we weren't sure if he was getting it or not, that he hadn't washed his hands for like 10 years or something like that.
Really? Is he single?
What? Is he fingering people? That's horrific.
He loves Galentine's Day.
Oh my God. That's a thing that I've recently, I'm like, if I'm like hooking up with someone or whatever, not that I do that that much, but I'm like, did you wash your hands? You must wash your hands.
Please
don't touch me.
I can't tell if that would be offensive, but I guess
that's kind of my fake cough. When I see someone in a public restroom and they don't wash their hands, I'm just like, come on, man.
Yes,
that's right fucking there. Just put some water. Take it.
Just
put some fucking water on it.
Holding their goods, you know?
I was at a bar with my wife, and there was this couple we were sitting next to, right? And then I went to the restroom, and the guy came in there, and he didn't wash his hands. And then they were both back at the bar, and they were sharing French fries. And I was just texting my wife, like, this fucker didn't wash his hands and is now sharing French fries with his date. This is disgusting.
And then
what
he touches
fuck?
Peanuts at the bar that we all share.
Never touch the nuts.
Never eat peanuts at the bar.
Pretzels are okay.
Wait, but shouldn't you wash your hands then before you go to the bathroom as well?
Sometimes I do.
I mean,
not you.
Sometimes I do.
You're not, everybody, you know, did that. It would be
vagina.
Okay. But
no, but what if you have to like change a tampon or something?
True. Yeah. So,
sometimes I do.
Or contact lens
makes
pops
sense.
Out. Yeah. You know.
A contact lens can pop out of your vagina?
Yeah, it's the worst.
You're putting
it's a new
it in
diaphragm.
Your own
you
place.
Didn't know?
I did
new
not. Diaphragm. Oh my God, I'm putting so much of this together. But it, well, like, anyway, I love the trajectory.
Why did you bring that up? Why did you even bring up the hand washing thing?
Oh, because of the. First viral. Of all, that's a negative. I would assume people look at that rather negatively. But you could tell that this guy was loving it. Like he was like doubling down on Twitter. And like, even though it isn't probably a great thing to be known for. He didn't give a shit because everyone was talking about him.
Journalists are fucking nerds. Also, journalists are nerds. God bless them. They love a viral tweet. They're like, I'm cool. Like, good. Yeah. For, maybe we can just let them have this one thing. I take it back.
I love watching you change your opinion.
I will change my mind like at the drop of a hat. This is great.
Back to no hand washing.
Yeah.
So there's a famous journalist, right, that I know doesn't wash his hands.
I know.
And he was actually, I won't say which one, but it's either Woodward or Bernstein, right?
Are you serious?
One of my first jobs in New York, I worked for the Central Park Conservancy, and we happened to share an office with one of these two famous journalists, and we shared a bathroom, right? And first time I was like, yeah, no, like maybe he's got hand sanitizer at his desk. And then I saw him go number one and number two and never wash his hands.
That is amazing.
Number
I didn't
two.
Watch him, okay, but you know, he was in the stall. And like, you know, whenever he was in the bathroom, like, it became a thing because my job was
like
so boring.
This, to be fair, that would
be like, is he going to do it this time? And it's like, oh my God, he didn't wash his fucking hands. So it's kind of those situations where if I ever met the guy, I kind of want to shake his hand because he's respected and famous and I like his work. But then I'm like, I don't want to shake your hand because I've seen you go to the bathroom, bro, and you don't wash your hands.
You would shake his hand. Choice approach, though. You gave us two names. That's kind of great.
That was brilliant. Yes.
Either or.
They're both tainted by association.
Yeah. I'm never going to shake.
I mean, they got a long career, and they've been doing great stuff their whole lives. So,
yeah,
you know,
I
at,
like
the, end
you
of,
picked
at
two,
the end
that
of
was
it.
Great.
So maybe there's something to it.
You know, I'm looking for a job, right?
It is the ultimate of privilege, though, right? The choice to not wash your hands.
Yeah.
Is it the ultimate privilege? It's very third worldy.
No. To have the choice.
The choice of third world, right? You know what? I could be clean, but I choose to be dirty. Because I have that choice.
Right. It's like dreadlocks or something.
It's like, remember when Angelina Jolie was like, I'm not going to get married until everyone can get married.
Right.
Like, that is a privileged statement. You
Charlize Theron, I think.
No,
yeah.
It was both.
Maybe.
Ooh, Brad Pitt has a type then.
And then she gets divorced. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, I'll get married. Okay, now I'm going to get divorced. But
I just love the fact that Daniel was approaching whether or not Woodward or Bernstein washes their hands the way
Which
they did
is
Watergate.
Bring me on tomorrow. We can find out more.
Their hygiene like they were Nixon.
Watched him go number one
and number two.
I just see him in the corner with
he
like.
He doesn't do it after number two. He's never
going to. Seriously.
No, but you should have taken the opportunity, like, you know, when someone has bad breath. Oh, and you're eating a mint. Oh, anyone want a mint? You just carry around hand sanitizer. Anyone want a squirt?
They weren't doing it in the bathroom. They weren't going to do it then.
I just really hope he had some hand sanitizer at his desk. Never saw his desk, but really just hope.
I just picture you bumping into him taking a dump at his desk. It's not, the more I hear about this guy, the more I think he is.
Which one is it?
I'm going to say Woodward just because it would be not the non-obvious one since he's so waspy and fastidious looking. By the way, you went from being good to keeping his
hand. You're so bad. You're naughty.
Wait,
you're bad.
Happens? Journalists
you're
can't give
any. You're bad.
Away.
That's true. That's true. I'm never right. We get to
confirm nor deny.
Mm. Ooh, I like that.
Let's meet in a parking garage later. I'll put a plant out with a flag in it, and then I'll tell you who doesn't wash his hands.
I always
he really
love
needs
the
money right now. You do. You're trying everything right now.
I love the idea. Just any excuse to wear a trench coat. I am in. Well, you guys, thank you so much for joining us on Galentine's Day.
Yay.
Actual real thing. I'll go down the table, guys, if you want to give me anything you want to plug or prescribe before we send you on your way.
Cool.
Go ahead.
You can check out Race Wars, the podcast at all podcasteries.
Well, you've really nailed this industry.
Thank you so much. And me, Karen Margolis, on Insta, KerenMargolis.
You have got it. Daniel, any other people that haven't washed their hands lately that you want to reveal?
Yeah, my Twitter. Check out my Twitter. Yes. I'm a journalist, and I tweet. No, don't check out my Twitter. It's horrible. It's just full of bad jokes. That's the thing about Twitter, too, is that journalists think they're hilarious on Twitter. I've read somewhere that, like, on Twitter, journalists think they're comedians, and comedians think they're journalists.
Yeah.
Oh, that cuts like a knife.
Investigating and going after people, right? They're like, we need to go after Trump. This is ridiculous. And meanwhile, the journalists are making stupid jokes and...
That's
funny. But anyway, I have nothing to plug except
your resume,
my hair, and like maybe 10 years.
What a sad and depressing show, but I loved it. Aaron, how about yourself?
I'm Erin Davis, and I'm just plugging the fact that it's Valentine's Day. I'm here for you. I'm a dating coach. I'm a wing woman. Erin, E-R-I-N, Davis, WW.com, and I am the host of a new dating reality show called Bubbies Know Best. It's on JLTV on cable, and it premiered. It's three grandma matchmakers. We premiered Monday night at 8 p.m., and it's on every Monday at 8 on JLTV or JLTV.tv live streamed. Nice. So I love it. It's a great show.
Is there an opportunity for me to just date a grandma on the show?
That's a good idea for season two.
We'll talk after this airs.
Yeah, but you better wash your hands before you go on that date and with that grandma.
Why don't we all talk in the parking lot? Let's go meet in the parking lot.
She could buy you some cigarettes, huh?
A bunch of things happen. I know. Let's tie it all together, guys. It's great.
I could actually steal hers. I got to get into Virginia Slims. Joe, we'll go to the graphics first, and then you can... Time to sum it all up. Boy, speaking of habits.
Okay, when washing your hands, it's important to also do this when there's soap on your hands so it gets under your nails, okay?
Oh, I think that was a subtle dig at me.
I'm just going to keep doing this.
You just prevented 10,000 UTIs.
Till the end, 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 till the